and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition,
sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden signed an executive order today aimed at more background checks for gun sales.
The president traveled to Monterey Park, where 11 people were killed and 9 others were hurt in January.
We remember and mourn today, but I'm here with you today to act.
Mr. Biden announced he'd signed an executive order implementing changes passed by Congress last year. The move could result in some small-time traders who turn a profit being required to perform background checks even if they don't sell firearms for a living. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
People are revving up those snowblowers now as a nor'easter blows through the Northeast. It's already knocked out power to tens of thousands in New England.
I think it's scary. I ran out of power about 9:30 this morning, so I'm living with my fireplace.
New York and New Jersey have declared states of emergency. Out west in California, more extreme weather. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen is tracking it.
Dangerous avalanche conditions have developed across the eastern High Sierra, and this is because of the intense snowfall and the rain and snow at lower elevations, very strong winds that will be gusting between 50 and 80 miles per hour.
Many have already been forced from their homes in Monterey County, where a levee broke, causing dangerous floods. The Pentagon's condemning Russia now for the aggressive takedown of a U.S. drone over the Black Sea. Spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
Several times before the collision, the Su-27s dumped fuel on and flew in front of the MQ-9 in a reckless and unprofessional manner.
The State Department calls it a brazen violation of international law. The state of Ohio is taking Norfolk Southern to court.
Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost announced the lawsuit.
This derailment was entirely avoidable. I'm concerned that Norfolk Southern may be putting profits for their own company above the health and safety of the cities and communities that they operate in.
He says its aim is to ensure the company pays for the cleanup and damage caused by the February 3rd derailment. The attorney general says the extent of the damage is still not fully known. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
A woman in Rhode Island has been sentenced to 6 years in federal prison for pretending to be a sick Marine veteran. Prosecutors say Sarah Jane Cavanaugh was a social worker at a veterans hospital and stole patient information to collect about $300,000 in benefits and donations. She'd told people she'd served in Iraq and Afghanistan and got cancer from exposure to burn pits and from inhaling smoke from explosion during those tours. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win 2 value baskets and 2 concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 19 tonight under mainly clear skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 46. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow night, lows around 37. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Kroot.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. I had no supervision.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry, weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at WAUK.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, welcome back, my friend. We are here Tuesday night. Johnny Lupinacci in the state of Washington, me in the state of Ohio. The show produced coming out of Madison, Wisconsin. Johnny, we have been given some time. Last week, we talked to the historians on call looking at this issue of teaching and learning American history. We're going back to Florida. I just want to read something. House Bill 999 bans education that teaches, and I quote this, curriculum based on unproven, theoretical, or exploratory content that define American history as contrary to the creation of a new nation based on universal principles stated in the Declaration of Independence. Johnny, if you're not down with the Declaration, you are not supposed to be teaching that. We talked to a historian. Our guest tonight, though, eminent education historian, Dr. Diane Ravitch. She was research professor at education at New York University. She's a historian of education. She is the founder and president of the Network for Public Education, which has over 350 followers. Diane Ravitch's blog, dianeravitch.net, has received nearly 40 million hits. Dr. Diane Ravitch, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Hi, Tim. How are you? Hello, Johnny. Nice to meet you. And I have to just correct one thing. The Network for Public Education has not 350 members. It has 350,000 members.
I look right here. 350,000. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We have members in every state in the country. And, we're very active wherever we're needed.
Yeah. And in fact, being there and being part of even the original when you and some of the people that founded this, what a great organization, great conferences over the year, great speakers, really talking about public education. And Diane, I mean, when we're here, we're going to talk about Florida. We're going to deal with this a little bit. But, this really is more than a Florida issue. But I titled the show tonight, Teaching and Learning History in Hostile Times. If I said, Diane, is that true or false? What would you say?
Oh, I'd say it's very true. These are indeed hostile times for education. They're also very difficult times to teach history because a number of state legislatures, Florida being one of them, Texas another, and all across the South and lots of states in the Midwest have decided that legislators know history better than teachers do. Know history better than historians do. And if they don't like what's being taught, then they can just legislate and say, don't teach it. It may be true, but you can't teach it anyway. And I guess in trying to think about any kind of precedent to this, I'd have to go back to the McCarthy era. But even then, I don't think the state legislators were as active as they are today or as bold in making a list of books you're not allowed to read and making a list of ideas you're not allowed to introduce. And I can't think, for example, of a precedent to a state banning a book in legislation. The book that's been banned is the 1619 Project. And I read the book and I found it very informative. I would recommend it to, you know, not for third graders, it's too hard, but for kids who are juniors and seniors in high school, it's a wonderful teaching tool. And you can argue with it, and it's good to argue with it. It really would set off debates. But why ban it? It really, when people get into banning things, it means they're afraid of what's in them. And this is not a prurient book. This is, doesn't have any sexual obscenities in it or any other kind of obscenities. It just tells a lot of facts about American history that people don't want told.
Well, you pointed to that, too. And this is one of the things that, you know, sometimes people say, hey, you're just caught up in the present moment. Stuff like this happens all the time. It'll blow over. Nothing to see here. Nothing to look at. And, you know, I sometimes try to say, OK, maybe you're right. It will blow over. But it, you know, it feels, and you're living through it in the moment, that it feels, you know, very unprecedented. So to hear you say that, you know, from the McCarthy era also, you know, I saw Ken Burns put out some pretty strong statements about the fact that, you know, he hasn't seen anything like this since Soviet style forced. And he didn't call it education, indoctrination, I think he said. I mean, this is where we are. We're not talking about necessarily as much banning. When we understand that we're banning, what are we then forcing to teach? And so from this quote from House Bill 999 in Florida legislature, anything contrary to the Declaration of Independence is something that could be suspect. How do we teach the Declaration of Independence in, I'm thinking about when I was a fifth grade teacher, one of the essential things that we teach is compare and contrast. Right away, I'm in violation if I take the Declaration of Independence and do any type of, quote, contrasting. Again, just a sense, Diane, like as you're looking, you know, at this, you know, are these history wars, they're not new, but the level of ferociousness, maybe is that it now that's different this time?
Well, I do think what's different is that there are a very significant number, I guess in red states especially, of legislatures that have said, we know history better than history teachers, and we're going to tell you what to teach and what not to teach. And I think that this is more aggressive even than in the McCarthy era. And I think that what makes it hardest for us today is that we have lived through a long period of time, let's say from the late 60s or early 70s, until the recent past, where we really understood the First Amendment. I mean, when you read that legislation from First Amendment from Florida, what they're really saying is that the First Amendment doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to teach ideas that go contrary to my ideas. And my ideas, my idea, say the legislators, is that the United States was born perfect, was always perfect, and was never anything less than perfect. Nothing bad ever happened. And if you teach anything that violates my idea, you can be prosecuted for that. You can be fired for that. So that really flies in the face of not only common sense and the teaching of history as having some factual basis, not allowing any controversy, which we've had lots of. We have lots of controversy today. We've always had controversy. But they're saying, do not teach controversy. Only teach what I believe. And what I believe cannot be contested.
Well, I tell you, when we're talking about controversy, though, my co-host, Johnny Lupinacci, there's a controversial dude right there. Johnny Lupinacci, questions or comments for Dr. Ravitch?
Well, one, thank you, Diane, for joining us tonight and for all the work that you do, especially right now in this moment, to help all of us educators out here respond to, like you said, the attack on, I hadn't even thought about it in terms of being an attack on the First Amendment, but really thinking about how do we respond in this particular political moment where we tend to turn our attention right now to Florida because it's so prominent in front of all of our faces, but it's really happening everywhere. right? Where we aren't just ignoring historians and historical expertise, but really, really going against democracy. And so for teachers, I'm just one, honored to have you here, but two, really want to open it up to hear what you would suggest teachers out there do in this particular political moment.
You know, it's easy for me to say what I'm going to say because I'm not facing any consequences. I'm 84 years old. I'm not teaching the classroom, but I see widespread attack on academic freedom, and teachers in K through 12 actually don't have academic freedom. You're supposed to teach the curriculum. You're supposed to pay attention to the state standards. But the state standards are not meant to say this is true and this is false and this is what you can teach and this is what you're not allowed to teach. They're supposed to be, and I've worked on state standards, they're supposed to be very broad, general statements about this is the content. And the reason for state standards, from my, you know, kind of personal point of view, is to make sure that no one teaches state history 3 years in a row. Like if you move from one part of the state of Washington to another, you're not going to be getting state history again for another year. I many years ago got a letter from a student who had moved three times in 3 years in New Jersey and had state history 3 years in a row. And that convinced me of, wow, New Jersey has to decide what year they're going to teach state history. But it didn't say this is what's true and this is what's false. And now we have people who are themselves very poorly educated in the state legislatures saying, I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is true. And I don't care what facts you may have or what the historians say. My opinion is what's true. And if you don't teach my opinion, you go to jail. Well, that's ridiculous. And so what do I advise? I would love to see all these ideas tested in court because they're just so blatantly unconstitutional. The problem we have today is that, according to the latest data I've seen, Trump appointed 28% of the federal judges. But even some of the Trump-appointed judges have ruled against him. I mean, he brought 61 cases against the election, and many of those cases were heard by 62. Well, many of those cases were heard by people he appointed, and they were all thrown out. I don't think there were very many, if any, judges who said this was a rigged election. And so these are people who, in every case, have a law degree and don't want to look like fools themselves. And I think, given a kind of an open and shut case of censorship and teachers being told teach lies, I think that these laws have to be challenged. I'd love to see the people who actually have some resources, meaning the unions, bring some court cases against the restrictions on teaching critical race theory. Of course, as everyone says, critical race theory really isn't taught in schools. I mean, but in fact, anytime you discuss race in America, anytime, you eventually have to call it critical race theory because you're saying, why are we teaching it this way and not that way? Why aren't we talking about systemic racism? Why is it that, you know, huge percentages of people who are incarcerated are Black and very often get a harsher sentence for the same crime as perpetrators who are white? I mean, all of these questions are things we have to discuss, but discussing them is being banned. And I think that the only way to stop it is to fight it.
Well, let's fight it. When we get back from the break, we're going to actually go into that. John, I love that question about what should teachers do. In fact, maybe when we get back, Diane, let's talk about some of the good things teachers can do. We are talking to Dr. Diane Ravitch, the eminent education historian, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Back after the break.
The Badgers men's basketball team is in postseason play, and you can hear the action from the National Invitational Tournament on these local Civic Media radio stations. Wisconsin plays Bradley this Tuesday in Madison with an 8:30 p.m. tip-off. WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. In Richland Center, dial up WRCE 1450 AM or 107.7 FM. And in Amory, tune in 1260 AM, WLAK. Every win in the NIT, find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and on the app.
Hi, it's Jim Polzine from Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Have you checked out BadgerExtra.com or the Badger Extra app powered by our top-notch Badger coverage team? Subscribe now to get extra coverage, including extra analysis, extra recruiting news, and one-on-one athlete interviews. Plus, subscribers get my exclusive podcast, Open Gym, where I answer your Badger questions. Go to BadgerExtra.com or search Badger Extra in your app store. Download and subscribe today.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. To a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
I want Dr. Diane Ravitch. That's who we have on the show. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. We are back talking about the dealing with, you know, how do we teach history? How do we learn history? How do we deal with this moment in time where banning, and I think that is the word, banning the First Amendment, banning truth. Now, Evan, there's a piece there that I had you queued up from the American Historical Association. Let's listen to a few historians about what we should be doing. Go for it, Evan.
I think American history is rich, I think, and we have to deal with the good, bad, and the ugly.
I think Americans should be very concerned if professional trained teachers are being kept from teaching their students to think critically about what has happened in the past in this country.
This nation cannot heal its divisions by pretending those divisions don't exist. No doctor is going to tell a patient to ignore an injury because that injury is unpleasant.
The great irony is that the bills that are supposed, on theory, to prevent divisiveness are the ones that are actually designed to promote it. Stop. You gotta relax and let the children learn and let the teachers teach.
I love that, you know, as a simple solution. Let the children learn. Let the teachers teach. Isn't that what this is really about? This is, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, this is an attack on learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a phrase in German, which I won't attempt to repeat because I'll mess it up. My German's no good. But it's the freedom to learn and the freedom to teach. And that's what's under attack here. And, you know, so much of this attack is a smokescreen. When they say, well, we don't want critical race theory, they don't know what they're talking about. I've seen clips again and again of people who say, I don't want critical race theory. I don't like. And then the interviewer says, can you define it? And they say, no, but I don't like it. I don't know what it is. What they're really opposed to is teaching about racism. And how can you teach American history and not teach about racism? First of all, most Black people were brought here enslaved, not all, but most. And slavery was horrible. And how can you not say it was horrible for one human being to own another and treat him as a piece of property? And then post Civil War, there was a brief period during Reconstruction and brilliantly covered by Henry Louis Gates on a four-part series on PBS, where he showed how during this period of about 10 years, Black civic life, Black political life, the right to vote, the right to own businesses, all of this just flourished incredibly in the South. And then it was, with the end of Reconstruction, crushed and replaced by Jim Crow. This is an incredibly fascinating history, and kids should be engaged in this. And yet what people like Governor DeSantis thinks is that if kids learn the truth, they'll think, oh, that was my ancestors who were in the Ku Klux Klan, and I'm going to feel really bad thinking that my great-grandfather rode in the Ku Klux Klan and did terrible things to Black people. So let's not teach that. That's ridiculous. That happened. That's reality. You cannot banish truth and reality. There's no question. And, you know, the other thing is that to think that all truth is contained in a textbook is ridiculous, because we do have television, we do have the internet, and all of this is easily accessible if you know where to look, but you have to know where to look. And anybody who has public television in their household is going to learn the things that are banned in school. So I'd say that what they're really trying to do is to sanitize history in order to control, it's thought control. And I think that one of the things, and I write about Ron DeSantis almost every day in my blog, because the hits keep on coming. I mean, his desire to totally stamp out dissent. He even bragged the other day that there were no Democrats statewide. He would like to see the Democratic Party simply eliminated in Florida so we could have one man control.
It doesn't. And that's the thing. When you hear that, and, you know, I sometimes would like to engage in a debate and go, you know, Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, are you aware of the fact that you are not talking about freedom the way you like to proclaim? You're not talking about, you know, teaching truth the way you like to claim. You're actually an authoritarian in this moment of time. And that, in fact, you know, maybe from the best teaching example is, he's probably giving us one of the most current examples of a real life authoritarian trying to take control. And geez, you know, the lessons of history say, and one of the ways you do that is by taking control of the education systems of the people and the kids. You know, Diane, we've got 2 minutes for a break, but a couple of thoughts there and then we'll come back again.
Well, the only way to understand what's going on, not only in Florida, but with all the copycat states, Texas and Oklahoma and many of the states across the South and the Midwest, is by applying critical race theory. I mean, truly, this is an effort to eliminate the study of the history of racism in America and somehow to simply eliminate Black history as a study.
And that's, you know, talking to people, and John, you know, we always say that, you know, busted pencils, it's for my neighbor, because we want my neighbor who's maybe sitting over there, as you're saying, I don't like critical race theory, but they don't know why they don't like critical race theory, to be listening to the show and going, oh, wait, but yeah, oh, no, I knew about slavery. Yeah, slavery was horrible. Oh, and the effects of, yeah, I mean, there's lots of bad things that are still happening. And you're like, well, okay, that's critical race theory. Oh, well, I'm okay with that. And so we say with busted pencils, and what we try to do here every week is give my neighbor an opportunity to potentially rehear some of the things that they're hearing on Fox News or those other places, to say, okay, wait a minute, I want to try hearing that and thinking about that again. We are talking to Dr. Diane Ravitch, eminent historian. DianeRavitch.net is her blog. Busted Pencils, fully led at education talk. When we get back, more with Dr. Diane Ravitch.
WAUK 5. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer to the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the 300th time as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Stamps off another three. Booked it. Oh, my goodness. Don't wake him up. Greg Kaminsky, a single game school record, 43 points.
I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. And by Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. Welcome to the Badger Shootaround.
From the Kohl Center in Madison, the Badgers back home as for the first time since 1996, they are part of the NIT. As tonight's opponent will be the Bradley Braves out of the Missouri Valley Conference, a team that won the regular season championship, defeating Drake in a winner-take-all on the final day of the regular season. But then Drake got them in the championship game of the conference tournament, and that's where the automatic bid belongs in what was a one-bid league in the Valley. So the Bradley Braves, by virtue of being the regular season champions, get an automatic, at worst, an automatic bid to the NIT. And that's where Brian Wardle's team is here tonight in Madison with his Bradley Braves outfit taking on the Wisconsin Badgers. Of course, Wardle, a former standout at Marquette University in his eighth year now as the head coach of Bradley. And he has done a terrific job turning around that program. Again, a regular season championship this year for the first time since 96. They have won their conference tournament on a couple of occasions and brings a 25-9 outfit to the Kohl Center here tonight. As for the Badgers, 17-14 heading into the postseason and coming off the loss last Wednesday in Chicago against Ohio State, a game where the Badgers were down 27 points with 15 and a half minutes to play and fought their way back to make it a two-possession game, throwing a scare into the Buckeyes, but Ohio State able to hold them off. It was a good run in Chicago for the Buckeyes before bowing out to Purdue in the Big Ten Conference semifinals. Of course, the Boilermakers, the regular season and conference tournament champion. The Badgers, one of three teams in the NIT. Rutgers taking on Hofstra. That's a four-point game. The Scarlet Knights leading with about 8 minutes to play, 60-56. And with 7.5 minutes remaining in Ann Arbor, Michigan leads Toledo 70-67. So a couple of tight ones already going on involving Big Ten teams in the NIT. We're about an hour away from the opening tip here in Madison. Coming up, we'll visit with Jeff Patricus from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on our Fetch Rewards pregame show. The Fetch app gives Badger fans a home court advantage every time you shop and dine. Turn any receipts into points you can redeem for tons of popular gift cards. It's America's favorite way to save. Build right here in Madison. Download Fetch today. We're back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Show Wisconsin and Bradley in the first round of the NIT. If the Badgers emerge victorious tonight, they will have another home game coming up on Sunday against either Liberty or Villanova. Those two teams will tip off in about a half an hour as we visit with Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Well, Jeff, I credit Wisconsin in kind of owning it here. A lot of times teams that you think are on the edge and don't make it kind of state their case as to why the committee, you know, why they overlooked them and this, that, and the other. And Greg Gard said they just didn't win enough games. Had a lot of opportunities, just didn't win enough to get in.
Yeah, he said that Sunday night, you know, when we asked him what he thought his team's chances were when he woke up that day. But, you know, even leading up to that, when we talked to the players about going to the Big Ten tournament, they knew they had to win some games. They talked about that. So it's not like it came as a surprise to them that, oh, we lost Ohio State. We're in trouble now. They knew that going in, and they knew they needed to get the job done and did not on that night.
How close? I've got my own thoughts on this. I think, to me, this team has a lot of pieces in place to have a much different narrative. But your view, how close is this Wisconsin team to being a team that can get back in the upper echelon of the league?
Well, a lot of it's going to – they have good pieces right now. They were good – they have the pieces to have gotten in the NCAA tournament this year. I'll contend that if Wall and Klesmet had not gotten hurt when they did, that knocked this team off its rhythm. And they never got back to playing the level they were at the time. What, they were 3-0 and 11-2 and in the top 15 of both polls. So you could see they had the potential to be a solid team, a team to get in the NC2As. Now, with the transfer portal, I would expect them to try to add a wing and a big, whether it's a power forward or a center. And then you see if any of your guys who aren't playing a lot here will look like Ben Carlson, kind of came out of the blue after last season when he decided to go to Utah, and he was one of a couple guys who left. So plus with the freshman class they have come in, I think Winter is going to help them because he can shoot it. I think Gus is going to help them because he has played high level of competition and they like the guard from Michigan. So I think they're going to be a good team next year.
You know, it seems like they have some pieces in place coming in, so no doubt about it. This Bradley team, you're familiar obviously with Brian Wardle, his playing days at Marquette. Did a good job as the head coach at Green Bay. I had to do a double take. It's been 8 years already at Bradley. That's a good league, though. Missouri Valley, it's a very proud league, and they've got really good basketball, and Bradley is as good as anybody.
Yeah, that was, and you mentioned at the top that they won the regular season championship, but in a league like that, unless you have two really, really good teams that have scored some impressive non-conference victories, it's going to be a one-bid league for the most part. And they went into the tournament, probably knowing they had a win, Drake took care of them. Drake's in the NC2As, and they're in the NIT.
It's a guards game, and I was just talking to my counterpart at Bradley, and he was asking about Stephen Crowell, his ability to step outside. Rink Mast is 6'9". He can step outside. They could work the pick-and-pop game with him, but he's been a really good player for them. It's going to be interesting to watch how those two go at each other.
Yeah, they've got some bigs who can both shoot from three-point range, and Mast can do a lot of different things. I think what this game's going to come down to is a couple things. Which team is determined to win and make a run more than the other? I think Bradley has an intangible advantage in terms of they're the little guy, and they're thinking, hey, we can go knock off a Big Ten team and advance in the NC2As. Now, you get the impression from Greg that his players are pretty serious about this, and they should be, because they had a disappointing season. They didn't get in the NC2As. They should want to look at the bracket and say, you know what? Let's try to win a championship. Let's try to get to Vegas.
And then just hope to do it in a more relaxed way. Just go out and go play. Go have some fun, right?
You know what? If they could bottle the way they played in the second half against Ohio State, they'd be a damn good team.
No doubt. And if that happens, I'll see you again Sunday.
No, you're looking forward to that.
That's always a treat. Appreciate it. Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. Coming up next, our Badger Spotlight. As the Fetch Rewards pregame show continues, we'll visit with strength and conditioning coach Jim Snyder in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Every time you use LRS, Wisconsin's local waste and recycling leader is a guaranteed slam dunk. When it comes to great service and competitive pricing, LRS is the industry champion. LRS offers Wisconsin customers services such as roll-off dumpster rental and portable restrooms that are perfect for any construction renovations or outdoor events. Choose the local team with the highest level of customer service and the right equipment to fit the needs of your business, construction site, or home. Partner with LRS today and call for a quote at 844-WI-TRASH.
We believe in education. We believe in public schools. At WEA Member Benefits, we believe in helping Wisconsin public school employees and their families achieve their financial goals by providing personal insurance, retirement and investment, and financial planning programs that are designed specifically for the education community. WEABenefits.com.
The way we use our homes is changing. And as your local Carrier experts, we're here to help you improve your indoor comfort. From optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier, we're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier.
Carrier is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Save big money on your next project with 11% off everything now at Menards. Update your home with a new Spectra gutter system. Gutters are essential for controlling rainwater runoff from your roof. Choose from three in-stock colors. Right now, Spectra gutters are only $8.99 each after rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through March 19th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Badger Basketball is brought to you by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you, and by U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is proud to support Wisconsin. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC. Now back to the Badger Shoot Around.
Our Fetch Rewards pregame show continues. Time now for our Badger Spotlight. And this evening, we visit with strength and conditioning coach Jim Snyder. One of the fascinating aspects of the job over the years is watching how guys develop physically. Guys like Michael Finley and John Luehr come to mind. Rail Finn when they arrived, and NBA bodies by the time they left. Who knows, Connor Asigian might be the next in line. He's already shown some physical improvement as this season has moved along, but we talk with Snides about that. Player development, not just skill set, but their body type and how that gets better and better over time.
It's funny because, I mean, a lot of these guys that come here, they don't even know, like, what a clip is, what a barbell is. Like, what's that, coach? Or they look on the floor and they see some kettlebells and they're like, what are those? I'm like, those are kettlebells. So it's pretty interesting. Like, Connor obviously is very gifted, can shoot the ball. I mean, and that's what he worked on, his skill, and there's nothing wrong with that. But now it's, you know, for him to take the next step, it's just working on the physicality and developing his body. And this is the first time he's ever really trained. And that's common with a lot of freshmen when they come in, is like, you know, they may have worked out for their preseason, but then once the season starts, they don't do anything at all. And then after the season's over, then they start picking it up. So, you know, that's the fortunate part about the nice part about the collegiate development system, is you can come in and guys get, you know, services that we offer, you know, year round, and that can keep guys developing on a daily basis. And I think it's huge for guys to develop that confidence, you know, like you talked about regarding Mike, like, he felt better, and then, you know, if you feel good, you play good, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of it. So
I was think of another guy right now, Stephen Crow. When he first got here, obviously, like most, you know, you physically, it's going to be tough when you're going up against veteran bigs. And now, you know, even last year, he thought like the midpoint of last year is like, okay, I can deal with these guys. We talk about coaching staffs, you know, Greg Gard and his staff, Sharif, Dean, and Joe, how they get excited when someone develops. I would think when you know, Big Stevie's up there against all those bigs in this league, yeah, when he's getting stuff done, I'm thinking Coach Snyder is pretty excited there.
Super
on the bench.
Excited. I mean, that's the great part about my job, is like watching kids develop, you know, seeing kids get better, more confident, like watching Steve grin and smile when he goes in there and be able to bang and lower his hips. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's the stuff that I look at, like, hey, okay, like, I'm making an impact, you know, with these guys. And it's fun to see them develop, because it's not easy, you know, like, I tell people, like, it's really nothing that I do. It's, I put together the plan, but the guys have to put in the effort, you know. And a guy like Steven, like, puts in a tremendous amount of effort on an everyday basis. And so he, you know, he's seeing, people are seeing the fruits of his labor because he puts in the effort.
Yeah. The final question here is probably an impossible one, because you couldn't list them all, but you've worked with various sports, including hockey, men's and women's hockey, among the other sports, and with basketball, obviously, here with the Badgers. Who are some guys, I'm sure fans would want to know, who are some athletes that were just like freak shows from the beginning, or maybe just developed into that in their time here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we had one last year in Johnny. He's a really, really special one, as far as just like how he can move. And I've talked about this before. Like, he had a lot of athletic qualities coming in, and all we had to do was really fine tune him. He's one that comes to mind. Obviously, like, newer age, like Cole Caulfield. Like, obviously, he had a physical development for being such a small guy. Like, you know, obviously his stature is small, but he packs a big punch on the ice, and so he needed to really make sure that training was a big part of it. You know, we've had Ryan McDonough from the hockey side. Pavelski, who obviously, like, he's still playing at the age he's playing at, like, he's probably the one of the, he's really special, but more special from the mental standpoint than an absolute physical standpoint. Like, yeah, he works really hard physically, but mentally, I've never seen a guy just that can put in the daily grind that he does. I mean, even to this day, I mean, he's still playing, and, you know, he'll still, if he has to play golf at 9 or tee time at 9, he'll call me and be like, hey, we got to go at like 6 or 5:45. Like, and does he really need to do that at this point in time in his career? I mean, I don't know. But again, mentally, like, he knows that to keep himself engaged, that's really important to him. And that's what's special about some of those guys at that level, is that they all have very good physical gifts, but mentally, like, can you do the same thing over and over without it getting boring? You know, and I don't ever have to make it entertaining. It's just like the straight grind every single day for him, and it just goes about his work.
Is that part of your fun final thought here with this team this year? Because there's so much that goes on that we don't see. You know, there's everybody is excited when you have 17,000 watching them perform, but there are thousands of hours with nobody watching. Yeah. Just a group. I get the impression it is, but I'll ask you: this a group that you enjoy being around because they like to get in there and work? And
yeah, no, it's better. It's definitely this group. Like, really, you know, this is my second full time year now, so like, they're getting used to me a bit, you know. I'm getting used to them, but they're probably getting a little more used to me. But Yeah, no, these guys are good. And, like, you know, it's tough because, you know, I always say the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And so I'm pretty demanding in there as far as, hey, you know, I'll definitely work with guys, you know, as long as, like, they're upfront honest. But, like, when we come in there, there's work to be done, you know. And so, and especially with these guys, with how athletic they are, like, the training process of the weightlifting and the movement and the flexibility and taking care of your body is so important. I mean, it's amazing what just a little work and how far it will take you down the road.
Yeah, so
you know,
much,
and that's the thing. I think guys feel good when on the court. I feel like, you know, our team moves pretty well on the court. Obviously, we like to be a little bit bigger all the time, but we you know, that's the process as we go.
That's Badgers strength and conditioning coach Jim Snyder, and that is tonight's Badgers Spotlight. Stay with us. Coming up next, our Badger Notebook, as our Fetch Rewards pregame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Meet.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Good chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Our Fetch Rewards pregame show continues. Badgers and the Bradley Braves in the first round of the NIT. Time for our Badger Notebook with Patrick Herb. Well, you were doing what I was doing. I mean, we're up front here. Everybody's goal, obviously, is to get in the NCAA tournament. But since the Badgers are going into the NIT, I was looking back. I could say I was there for all of them from 1989 to 1996. There are some pretty interesting tidbits, though, as you have found in your research, right?
Yeah, this predates my you know, intellect on Wisconsin basketball. So I did have to kind of go back and look through the box scores and do some research. And, found some interesting things. Wisconsin has played seven games in the NIT, four different seasons. All of them have come in Madison. Found that interesting. So they've never advanced past the second round. Never had to go to the road in the NIT. Bradley, first time they're playing them in the NIT. I found this interesting. The last time Bradley came to Madison for a basketball game, 1929.
Yeah, I saw that tweet today.
The game
that was
good. Played in the Red Gym. That's how long. The field house wouldn't even open until a year later.
Good crowd that day, though. That tweet is accurate.
Everybody in sport coats and hats, too. Very well-dressed crowd. Back to the NIT. So I went back and looked at the last time Wisconsin played, 1996. Before we talk about that, I will add that every single Big Ten team has played in the NIT since Wisconsin has in 96, including Michigan State. They've got that great run of NCAA tournaments going on. They played in 96 and 97 in the NIT. Tom Izzo's first 2 years at Michigan State. Okay, so Wisconsin's last time, 1996. This was Dick Bennett's first year, and they beat Manhattan 55-42. The head coach of Manhattan Manhattan was Fran Fraschilla, yep, who's on the call tonight for ESPN in this game. And I was exchanging emails with him earlier, and when I told Greg Gard that he was calling today's game, Greg said, oh, that's funny. You'll have to tell him that back in 1996, Bo Ryan and I came up and we watched his practice with Manhattan when they were preparing for the Badgers game. Back then, the WIAA tournament was around the same time like it is now,
yep,
and the schools that were participating got to practice on the fieldhouse floor, mm-hmm, for an hour before their games, probably the day prior. And that was also the same day that Manhattan was preparing for the NIT. And so he and Bo came up to recruit and to look at high school kids, and they thought, well, let's stick around and watch the Jaspers practice. So things have come now full circle here years later. So they won that game. Hensi Oriental had 15 points to lead the Badgers. There's fun names we're going to go through here.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Oakey had 11-9, and Moselle Peterson had 13. And you know what happened to Moselle. You can, yeah, probably tell better than I can.
Yeah, it was a non-contact thing running up the floor and just a misstep. And it was a career-ending knee injury that saw him actually a little over a year ago in Chicago before the Michael Finley event. I mean, he's doing great these days, but yeah, that was one of those deals, Patrick, that at the Fieldhouse, those who were sitting close to the floor, many fans were, they got ill. It was that bad. It was like a car wreck bad deal. But, you know, happy to say Moselle is, you know, doing very well now, but that was not a pretty sight that night.
Neither was it a couple days later when they lost to Illinois State the second round. Oki was the only really scorer in that one. He had 28-8. Wisconsin was just 4-for-18 from threes. Dan Muller was one of the stars on that Illinois State team. He would later coach Illinois State from 2012 until last season. He was a head coach there. That's not the last coach we're going to reference in NCAA. So the time before that when they made it, 1993, Stu Jackson's first year. They lost to Rice by four. A young future star named Michael Finley had 23 in that one, but David Holmes was better. He had 32 for Rice. I don't know David Holmes, but okay, the previous time, 1991, Wisconsin beat Bowling Green by 8 during the Steve Yoder era. Bowling Green's head coach, Jim Larranega,
yes, sir,
who is now the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes in the NCAA tournament this year. In that one, Willie Sims had 31 points, the school record for points in an NCAA tournament game. A few days later, though, they would lose to Stanford 80-72. Mike Montgomery led that Stanford team, and they had a scorer named Adam Keefe, who had 33-14.
He was a stud.
Stud, and later, yep, number 10 overall pick,
yes,
in the NBA draft. That Stanford team ended up winning the entire NIT,
yep,
that year.
Yep, he did. Mike Montgomery was just a terrific basketball coach, college level, and was in the NBA for a time. Coached at both Stanford and Cal. So imagine that, going from one rival school to the other. But he has some really, really good teams at Stanford.
And then the first time Wisconsin, the only other time, the first time the Badgers made the NIT, 1989. Back then, making the NIT was significant, was it not?
Yeah, it was. That was their first postseason appearance of any kind since 1947. Interesting when they played New Orleans, who the coach of New Orleans was.
Tim Floyd.
Yes, sir.
Later of Iowa State and Chicago Bulls fame. Well, Trent Jackson was the hero in that win. He had 22 points. How about this? Wisconsin just 1-for-3 from three-point range. Got a win. My, how the game has changed.
Yeah.
In basketball. They would lose anyway in the second round to St. Louis, a team that would end up being the runner-up in the NIT. They lost to St. John's in the championship. Danny Jones had 24 in that one in a losing effort. So Wisconsin doesn't have the history in the NIT that Bradley does. Bradley's won 4 championships.
Yep.
But they do have a little bit of history. It's just been a while since we've had an NIT around here.
And it was interesting, too, Patrick, as we close this segment here, you were talking about all the other teams, all 13 other Big Ten teams have been in the NIT since Wisconsin's last appearance. Interesting to note, in 2007, Ohio State, you know, won the league, Wisconsin right behind them, obviously, the 1-versus-2 game in Columbus. That year, the Buckeyes played Florida in the NCAA title game. The following season, Ohio State was in the NIT. Won it, but it just shows you how they, even then, and now it's a different world in college athletics now, that it's not a given that you're going to get into the NCAA and make deep runs. I mean, it happened to a team that played for all of it the previous year, went into the NIT. It's just, every now and then we got to throw some facts to get in the way of some narratives out there.
Yeah, in his preparation for this game and the decision of whether to play in this tournament, Greg Gard reached out to Tony Bennett at Virginia because Tony Bennett and his team had just made it the previous year. Now, this is the team that won the national championship in 2019, and then a few years later, they're playing in the NIT. And then now they're back, and they're a number four seed in the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, I think your point is valid that even great teams, Duke played in it just a couple years ago. North Carolina would have been in this year if they didn't turn it down. It happens. You learn from it, you play it, make the best that you can, and then rebound next year. Hopefully the Badgers are right back where they want to be.
Yeah, just play the game you love and see how far that takes you. Appreciate your time. Appreciate a trip down memory lane. There's some big-time coaches that have been rolling in here in the NIT. We will take a break. Before we throw to our commercial break, though, let's first pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 for an ID. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Our pregame coverage continues here at the Kohl Center. Hey, fans, the next time you make the journey to the Kohl Center for a Badgers game, come hungry and scoop up a Brew Pub Latsa Matsa Pizza, the official frozen pizza of UW Badgers Athletics. Brew Pub pizzas are loaded with more than half a pound of Wisconsin mozzarella cheese and are also available in your local grocery store. Checking some games going on. Michigan has defeated Toledo 90-80, so Juwan Howard's team